This is the Reds Hot Stove League. The Reds on the radio. The Reds Hot Stove League is brought to you by Holy Grail Banks and Santo Graal. Proud sponsors of the Reds Hot Stove League. Lycan's Energy Solutions, powered by Light. JTM, let's create great dishes together. MSA Architects. And by Document Destruction, the official document shredding vendor of the Reds. The Reds Hot Stove League is also brought to you by CBTX, a Cincinnati Bell company. Technology solutions for business. Your Tri-State Chevy dealers. Check out Chevy's award-winning lineup only at your Tri-State Chevy dealer. The Healthcare Management Group. Greater care for greater Cincinnati. Woody's Sander Ford. I-75 at Mitchell Avenue. Right in the middle of everywhere.
And Mitch runs them off.
The Reds Hot Stove League on the Reds Radio Network.
The Reds on the radio.
And hi, good evening, everyone, and welcome once again to the Reds Hot Stove League. I'm Jim Couch, along with Tom Brenneman. We are, as usual, live at the Holy Grail Banks, right across from Great American Ballpark, to talk Reds baseball for the next hour. This is edition number two of the 2016 offseason, and we are very, very glad to have a big crowd down here at the Holy Grail, and, of course, all you folks listening on the Reds Radio Network. Tom Brenneman, I don't think I have laid eyes on you since the season ended, but you've been staying very busy.
James, you've been staying busy play-by-play for Northern Kentucky University basketball, and so it is nice to see you once again, and welcome officially to the Reds Hot Stove League. You were not here week one. Nice to have you week two.
Thank you very much. We've got a couple of guests that we're going to talk to throughout the program. Dick Williams, the senior vice president, general manager of the Reds, is here for the first half hour. Yes, just give him a nice round of applause. Rick Walls, who is the director of the Reds Hall of Fame, will be here to talk something very big in the beginning of the second half hour. So we have a lot of things to talk about. And Dick, welcome to the program, crutches and all.
Gentlemen, it's a pleasure to be here. Anything that gets me out of the office this time of year is a pleasure.
And crutches, again, for those who don't know, this is round two now for you. I hate to bring it up because you're tired of thinking about it and dealing with it, but you have torn the same ACL twice in 1 year. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yes.
And
less than a year.
There's a reason why we prohibit our players from doing certain athletic activities.
Right.
Our executives should follow the same guidelines. I'll leave it at that.
Now, admittedly, the first time, though, you tore doing a great athletic activity, skiing. The second time, maybe not.
Well, look, we've got 30 minutes to talk baseball now. Are you sure you want to burn that time talking about my ACL?
Hey, I'll tell you what, though. This week is awards week for Major League Baseball. We've had the Rookie of the Year. We've had the Manager of the Year. Tonight is Cy Young. Tomorrow, of course, is the MVP. So a lot of big things going on regard to that. But let's talk Reds and zero in specifically on what you guys have been doing. I know last week was right at the end of the general manager's meetings. And you are, what, just over 2 weeks away now from the winter meetings, right?
Yeah, this part of the offseason really flies. Last week we were out in Phoenix with the 30 other teams and with Major League Baseball, and so we're talking offseason planning with the other teams, and that's a great venue to do it, the general manager meetings, because it's a small, concentrated group, 3 to 5 people from each team, so you know you're talking to decision makers on the other side. And there's a little less interference from the outside world. Unlike the winter meetings, which are next, which are, involve all of minor league baseball. It's the biggest job fair. It's a trade show, and it really attracts all the media. And it's a lot more difficult to get stuff done there than it is at the general manager meetings. We also had some quality time with baseball to talk about the CBA that's expiring this year and the potential changes to the game. And it really gets your wheels spinning when you start thinking about the possibilities. I mean, they could change playing rules. They could change roster rules. And all that's up in the air right now. They're in heavy negotiations with the players' union. So we'll find out, hopefully in a few weeks, what changes are being put in place, and then we'll have to start reacting to those. But it was a real informative session out there.
You know, Dick, I'm curious, and I think a lot of people are always kind of curious, because there's, at the general manager's meeting, as you mentioned, it's not as full-blown as maybe the owners' meetings are, because, you know, you've got some of the high-profile owners that are there and a lot of the other things that are going on. When you go to a general manager's meeting and everybody has their own suite where you have enough room where all the guys you work with in the Reds contingent and every other team's contingent, you have enough room to spread out and start talking about things and maybe having other people come in, Are you talking constantly with other teams, or are you spending more time with just your guys in thinking about then how to approach, if it comes to that, other teams?
I would say the preparation is really more of the internal discussion. And then once you get together, you start firing ideas at other teams. And when that happens, the communications increase exponentially, because as soon as you start talking with a couple teams about a particular situation, you know, inevitably other players get drawn into it, other teams get drawn into it, and so the communication really starts increasing. And that's when it's helpful to have a team with you, and you can say, hey, look, you know, can you say to one of your guys, hey, can you go handle the discussions with these couple teams and just sort of move it down the road? So otherwise, it'd be really hard to get stuff done. But, in those rooms, it can be real exciting, and then it can get real boring real quick if you don't have anything going on. It's typically when you least expect it, when someone calls out of the blue, and there you go again. So in general, for us, this general manager meeting, it wasn't crazy busy because of where we are in our life cycle. We're not right at the point yet where we're trying to make big acquisitions, and we're really focused on holding on to and developing a lot of the young players that we've invested so much in acquiring. So teams are coming after those guys, but they're a part of our future and we see them. So for the most part, we were really focused on our core group. Our additions are going to be more on the periphery this year.
Without giving away trade secrets, and you've got to keep a lot of stuff close to the vest because there are things you want to do that maybe you don't want people to know about. That's certainly understandable. But you just used the word prioritize. If you had to prioritize for Reds fans out there what the general manager and your staff are thinking, what are the top two or three priorities of this offseason?
Well, I think one of the priorities is to make sure that we supplement the pitching with some numbers. We have some very good young pitching talent that is right on the cusp of arriving in the big leagues. You saw a taste of it last year from Cody Reed and Robert Stevenson. You got more guys coming right behind them like Amir Garrett, Sal Romano, Nick Travieso, Rookie Davis. These guys are right on the cusp. But as you saw last year with Robert and Cody, and we've seen it in the past when we've had young guys come up, whether it was Frazier or Cueto or Zach, over the years, there's an adjustment period to the big leagues. And so you can't pencil all those guys into spots for this year, but they are very much a part of what we want to accomplish this year. So we're going to try to supplement that pitching with some other guys, some veterans that will give us some stability, provide some innings, and then let those young guys come in and flourish without being put in a position that they're not yet ready for. That would probably be the top priority. I think we might also put some emphasis on outfield depth. I think we feel pretty good around the middle of the diamond, the infield right now. We'll probably emphasize adding someone to that outfield mix. Our roster is evolving in a way that we want more athletic players, more flexible players, something that can give Brian more weapons, more options in a game where you can move guys from the outfield to the infield. You can move them from one corner to the other. I'd like to have left-right flexibility there. Shebler played well last year. Duvall played well. Billy played well. We hope Jesse Winker will kind of edge himself into that conversation. And like to have a couple other names in there. And the final priority would be probably some catching protection, just because Devin, as you guys know, has had a couple years that he's lost most of the season to injury. Should be back for us next year, and we anticipate him as a catcher, but you have to be prepared for contingencies, so I think we'll try to add some depth there as well.
Dick, one of the big things that you guys have to do internally to get ready for the winter meetings is set that 40-man roster. And I know you guys have been doing that. You're down to 33 right now, and you have to do that to make space to protect some other players because of the Rule 5 draft. And those are hard decisions to make, aren't they?
Sure are, because you invest a lot of time and energy into developing these players, but the Major League Baseball rules that were put into place a long time ago basically said after a certain amount of time in the minor leagues, you have to promote these guys to the 40-man roster or let somebody else promote them to the 40-man roster. You don't want to lose any of your players.
Sure.
You don't want to lose them to another organization. And so there's a tendency to protect as many players as you can. But what you got to remember is every other team is in that same boat. They also have a lot of prospects that they want to try to protect. And in order to have one of those players taken, he's got to spend the entire year on the major league roster of that other team. So you got to think a lot about not just how much you like the prospect, but what's the actual likelihood that he could be carried on a major league roster for someone else. We're in a really good position now with the depth of our prospects, but that also makes us a little more susceptible to maybe getting guys taking the Rule 5. I'll be shocked if other teams don't come after us.
All right, we're off and running here at the Holy Grail on the Reds Hot Stove League on this Wednesday night. We'll come back with more. Take your questions for the general manager of the Reds, Dick Williams, right after this. You're listening to the Reds Hot Stove League live from the Holy Grail Banks, presented by Budweiser.
Welcome back to the Reds Hot Stove League from the Holy Grail on the Banks in downtown Cincinnati. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday night. We go to Tuesday nights regularly starting next weekend, next week, same start time at 6 o'clock. Now, look, a lot of people have been asking already about gift ideas for the holidays, and we have a great package for you. It's called the Reds Holiday Gift Pack. It's on sale right now. Now, for $40, the gift pack includes four ticket credits good towards any combination of games next season. So if you're thinking about the Yankees are coming in, Red Sox are coming in, there are others coming in, this is towards any combination of games next year, plus you get a new limited edition Reds Nutcracker. That's nice for the kids. You can get your holiday gift pack today at the Reds kiosk located in the Kenwood Town Center, Florence Mall, or as always at reds.com/holiday. Some restrictions do apply. We have Reds Fest coming up in 2 weeks. We'll talk more about that in a little while. But right now we have the Reds Vice President, General Manager Dick Williams, kind enough to join us. If any of you here would like a question, ask Dick a question, come on up to the microphone. For those of you listening on the Reds Radio Network, 513-749-7000, 513-749-7000. Out of town, 1-800-843-2441. Please, our inaugural guest tonight.
Yes, it's Stephen from Price Hill. Nice seeing you, Dick. Changing gears very slightly, you may or may not be aware of, well, you probably are aware of it, David Concepcion's error is coming up again this year. He missed enshrinement three years ago by three votes. Again, three years before that by three votes. Are the Reds planning to do anything? Can I do anything? What can the community do to get in those votes? I know it's a little easier Ken Griffey Jr. and Barry Larkin are now part of it. That wasn't true, 3 years ago. What's your take? What can be done?
I think we should pull out all the stops to help Davey. You know, he's long been deserving in my mind, and what a great guy. And still involved in baseball down in Venezuela. He was passing through here recently, and, you know, he and I maintain a dialogue. He trains players. And his dream is to get the Reds to sign one of his young shortstops. You know, I think, and so he was here not too long ago putting the hard sell on me on a couple young players. So I'm trying to get some video and take a look at him. But we maintain a very good relationship with Davey, and I'd love to hear what these guys have to say on it. But I feel like the momentum's there, and we just got to get him over the finish line.
You know, the thing that's so hard to figure about that is, for years and years and years, the players that were in the Hall of Fame and maybe players who weren't in the Hall of Fame, they would scream and moan and complain about the writers not putting players in the Hall of Fame. Well, now every other year, when the players that are in the Hall of Fame have the opportunity to vote on their peers, there have been two of those cycles that have passed through where they didn't vote anybody yet. So it's really hard to get a read on those guys. It comes across, I'm not suggesting that they are this way, every one of them individually, but collectively, they very much come across as a very exclusive club that they don't want anybody else in there. And there are a lot of very, very deserving players that should be there. And in a game overwhelmed with statistics, if you just go back and look at the raw numbers and compare Concepcion's stats with all of the other shortstops that are in the Hall of Fame already, it's impossible to believe that he will not get in. But it's happened before. We'll find out.
All right, we have a call. Ed on a cell phone, you're up next on the Reds Hot Stove League. Hi, Ed.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I'm just going to be totally honest and upfront. as a fan, and this question is more so for Mr. Williams. As a fan, when we come to the game, you know, we pay good money to come to the game, and we like to see the players hustle and see some fire in the team. And the last season or two, it seems as if it has been lacking. I know that, and I'm a huge Brandon Phillips fan, huge Votto fan, but sometimes I don't see that hustle. I don't see that fire that this team needs. You know, this team needs someone that, for a loss of a better statement, someone to get pissed off and just get everybody fired up and to rally around them. Frazier was great for that. And, you know, I think that this team has a lot of possibilities, but this team needs a leader. Scott Rowland, great silent leader. This team needs a leader to get everybody fired up. I'll shut up and let other people talk. If you can give me your comments on that, that's great. Honored to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the question. You're right about that. You know, a team functions best when, you know, when you've got leadership, and it's not something that the executives can force from above. It sort of needs to come from within the group. You know, when I watched last year's team, obviously in the first part of the season, we struggled mightily. And part of that was because of the trades we'd done the year before to open up some opportunities for some young players. But also the injuries hit us pretty hard. And in April and May, there was a really tough time there following the team. And what I was really proud of that group is the way they emerged from those first 2 months and the way they played over the latter half of the season. And that took a lot of heart, a lot of guts. The coaches hung in there. You didn't see veteran players packing it in, going on the DL. Those guys turned up their game. And what Joey did in the second half, you know, for Brandon to finish hitting almost 300 for the season, you know, those guys showed me a lot in what they did in the second half, and I thought they carried the young guys with them. You know, Duvall and Schebler and Peraza, you know, all those guys played well because of some of the leadership that was showed. I mean, all in, the results for the season weren't great, but I was very impressed by what we saw in the second half. And I think we've got some good young players coming up. Trent Rosenkrantz wrote an article recently about my thoughts on leadership and the importance of it. We invested heavily in sending 12 of our prominent minor league players to a leadership training program just about a month ago, less than that, a couple weeks ago, up at West Point. And these spent 3 days learning leadership skills, practical application of skills. And I've Scott Rowland and the names that were mentioned earlier taught me the importance of leadership. And I'm going to do everything to grow that from within the Reds player development system. These guys have all the physical tools, they have all the mental tools, but a lot of them get into baseball straight out of high school. And if you're an international player, you may not even have ever gone to high school. So they sometimes need help. They need supplemental education, and leadership training is something that shouldn't be taken for granted.
All right, well, we are almost out of time for this segment, but Dick, what do you guys have going the rest of this week?
Well, we got budget meetings this week with Mr.
Castellini. That's always fun.
We got to get all these new initiatives that we have approved for next year. But I think it's the kind of stuff that the fans won't necessarily see on a daily basis. But the investments we're making in player development, we're adding staff, we're adding amateur scouts, we're starting a Pacific Rim scouting operation. We're really doing a lot of cool things. So I'm going to get approval for those this week so that you can see the benefits in the years to come.
Dick, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Right on. Thanks,
Dick.
Having.
Great having you, man.
Dick Williams, the general manager of the Reds. We'll come back with the second half of the Reds Hot Stove League right after this, brought to you by Budweiser. Welcome back to the Reds Hot Stove League here on this Wednesday, the second Wednesday in a row that we've been down here at the Holy Grail. We'll go back, as Tom mentioned, to Tuesdays beginning next week, and we are very, very pleased now to bring in the executive director of the Reds Hall of Fame to talk some very, very big news, Mr. Rick Walls. Hello, Rick.
Hello, good evening.
How are
Hello,
you?
Hello, Rick. How's everything?
Hey, Tom, Chip, great. Everything's great.
The pride of Athens, Ohio.
Athens, Ohio.
Absolutely.
Yep.
This is a big day.
Huge day. Anytime you mention Pete Rose's name, it's a big day. We just came off a fantastic year of honoring Pete with induction in the Reds Hall of Fame. Big event, big weekend. His number was retired, right? A lot of great honors. And then last year was announced also he's going to have a statue at the ballpark. So this will be the fourth of the big four statues, of course, and we now know where it's going to be, right out next to Joe and Tony. And then now it's the Hall of Fame's responsibility to fund this project. So this is something we've done with all the statues thus far.
And we know when it will be. That is June the 17th.
Yep.
We know what it'll look like. He's going to be that famous head first slide of his. That's going to be fantastic. And to top it all off, you have two, not one, but two big announcements to make regarding Rose and Reds Fest, first of all.
Well, the big thing for us is, I mentioned funding the statue, we're announcing the Pete Rose hit collection. Now, Pete Rose, everybody knows about his 4,256 hits, but Pete's been working with us closely, and he has signed 4,256 baseballs.
Wow.
We have all of these, and they are tied to an individual hit. So it's a chance for the fans to own a piece of history and be part of baseball history by helping create the statue that will be here at the ballpark. So fans are going to be able to purchase one of his hits. You might pick a date or a specific hit number, maybe your birthday, maybe your anniversary. And on the website, we have all the information you would need about that hit, which is pretty spectacular in itself.
So in other words, if he had a double off Tom Seaver in 1974 that knocked in a run and it happened to be the birth, the one-year birth date of your son who was born at the time, you could buy the baseball and give it to your son now 40 years later.
Exactly. And this program started yesterday online. We've already got a lot of interest in it. So there's only one baseball for each date, for each hit, that is. So your birthday is September 12th.
Right. Jeez, my wife doesn't even know that.
All right. I know the year that you were born.
Okay.
I won't talk about that.
A little creepy, right? But that's all right.
However, Pete has had 26 hits on September 12th throughout his entire career. We're talking about the hit collection runs from 1963 to 86. Now, he didn't have one on the day you were born, but he had one the day before and two the day after. So we missed that one by one date. Now, Jim, your birthday is August 9th. Is that correct?
It is correct.
All right. I hate to announce that here, but I don't have the year either. But he's had 28 hits on your birthday. So imagine all the fans out there that have birthdays or anniversaries or some maybe it was the first game you went to, maybe you have a game ticket from that game. There's a reason to collect this piece and hang it on your wall. So what are you going to get, right? What do you get? You get the autographed ball by Pete. It's got the Hit Collection logo on it.
Let's hold that up for
all
the folks
right, so
that are here.
Can see this.
There we go. All right, now for those of you on the radio right now that are listening on the radio, this is a framed picture of Pete in different uniforms through the years in his career, swinging and finishing a swing, and it then has a baseball, which is in one of those, what do you call this thing?
This is a glass cube that's affixed to the glass frame, so we call this a deluxe frame. You know, it's 13 by 18 inches, so it's going to look great on your wall.
You know, is this the first time anything ever had been done? I've never heard of anything like this.
The closest thing we can liken it to is the Star Registry, in the sense that you're buying an item and owning something in perpetuity. So what's really neat about this baseball is, of course, each baseball is numbered. Each one is signed. It's got the Hit Collection logo on it. You're going to get a great certificate of ownership. So online, your name will be forever associated with that hit and that date, the only one to own it. And then in the Hall of Fame, near the three-story wall of baseballs, your name will be on the wall in the Hall of Fame as the owner of that hit. There's a lot of reasons to support this project. Obviously, the museum, nonprofit, needs the dollars to fund these sorts of things, to bring back the players for that weekend. But this is just one of those, I would call it, it's an innovative program, yes, but it's a unique collector's item. If you're a Rose fan or a baseball fan, you know, when you're talking about 63 to 86, what a piece of Reds history. So he's touched so much in baseball. I encourage everyone to go to redsmuseum.org. Just have fun with the database. I sat there. You can sit there forever and just walk game by game, learn about every single hit. And it's just a, you know, it's a walkthrough, a great piece of history.
I got to say, that is just a terrific idea
really
by
is.
You guys to come up with. I really applaud you for coming up with that and being able to market it the way you're marketing it. And I think it's going to be terrific, and I have no doubt it'll sell.
Well, now, you know, Reds Fest.
Yeah, you were talking also about Pete Rose and Reds Fest.
Absolutely. Well, we're tying Pete, obviously, to this program. He wants to help support the statue and the project. You know, he got into this idea, as you can imagine. He thought, this is really neat. And everyone we've talked to loves it. And so he's going to come to Reds Fest. And that was the big announcement. He's not been to Reds Fest before like this. He's going to be in the Reds Hall of Fame area. So anyone that is able to support this project by buying one of these baseballs between now and or at Reds Fest, He's going to personally meet them and have a photograph taken with them at Reds Fest. So he's going to be in the Hall of Fame area there both days.
So right now, if someone's listening and or here and says, you know what, I want to get involved in this, how do they go about it?
Well, go to redsmuseum.org. You'll see the Hit Collection logo jump right out at you. Follow that to the database. Find your baseball, first of all. And then make sure you grab your date right away, because there are some dates there's only a couple hits on that date. So if you have a particular date you want to recognize, this is a great for a gift for Christmas, for the holidays, definitely do that. You can buy it right there. Then we'll arrange for you to meet Pete at Reds Fest.
Rick, thank you so much for coming up and sharing that. That is great information, and we'll keep people informed as to how it's going as we move along.
And you know what, for everybody before we get to this break, look, think about this now, because, you know, The Reds Hall of Fame, all the incredible things they do for fans throughout the entire baseball season and year-round, this is such an unbelievable place. So all your dollars help to keep it alive and well. Rick, great job. This is great
thanks,
stuff.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks,
absolutely.
Tom. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate
you
it.
Bet.
Thank
you bet. You're listening to the Reds Hot Stove League live from the Holy Grail Banks, presented by Budweiser. Back in a moment. And we're back at the Holy Grail Banks, the Reds Hot Stove League on this Wednesday night. We want to remind you about joining the Reds Community Fund coming up on Saturday, December the 3rd, for the Prestige Audio and Visual and Creative Services Celebrity Poker Tournament, one of the biggest events year in and year out at Reds Fest, presented by Ashley Fence. Don't miss the opportunity to play against Reds players, coaches, broadcasters, local celebrities. Plus, this year's first place prize, a guaranteed, underline that, guaranteed $11,000. Reserve your spot today at reds.com/poker.
Hey, now, for those of wondering about Reds Fest, and we were talking about Pete Rose was going to be at Reds Fest this year. Don't forget, that's coming up now, 2 weeks from this Friday.
Yeah.
December 2nd, 3rd, over at the Duke Energy Convention Center right here in downtown Cincinnati. And you can get tickets. Go to Reds.com. Two-day Reds Fest tickets, $25 for adults. That's for both days, $12 for kids 12 and younger. One-day tickets, $17 for an adult, $7 for kids. Children 3 and under are admitted free. Now, Pete Rose will be on the Reds Fest main stage both Friday and Saturday. Friday at 5:30, that's the big player introduction, the past players, current players. Friday at 6 o'clock, there'll be a Q&A with Pete. That'll be a real hit, because nobody's better at that than him. And then another Q&A with Pete on Saturday at 12:30 in the afternoon. I still can't believe that package you're putting together on the Reds Hall of Fame.
It's very, very nice. It is. It makes you want to go out and say, hey, you know what? I want to do this right now. Get involved. It really does.
There are a lot of things that you and I and my dad and others get up here and talk about where you say, okay, a little lukewarm. This thing, for those of you that are listening on the radio, I mean, to see with the ball, the hit number, the plaque, and then you get a picture with a guy.
I agree.
It's amazing. It's for $170, the whole thing. I know that's not cheap, but, man, that is something else.
We'll take your calls. If you have a question, 513-749-7000, 1-800-843-2441. And before we get to our next question, Tom, I know we don't want to forget about this. This past week, last Thursday, I believe it was, our thoughts go out to the family of Russ Nixon, who passed away, 81 years old. He was a former manager of the Reds. He's a Cincinnati guy, went to high school here, went to college here, managed the Reds back in the early 80s, was on Sparky's staff in 76, and great loss for Reds family, Russ Nixon.
Yes, and his twin brother still works here at the ballpark and has for many, 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 many years, and our thoughts and prayers indeed to all his family members and many friends that he stayed close with here in Cincinnati, his hometown, for a long time.
All right, let's go to the phone. Tom from Anderson, you're up next on the Reds Hot Stove League.
Jimmy, how are you, buddy?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Wonderful. I want to tell you something about that guy sitting next to you.
Uh-oh, okay. Be careful.
No, I don't remember how many years ago, Tom, I just gotten old and Anderson, you know. He was a Cub sports reporter when my nephew was the starting left tackle for Marymount High School. And I met him that night on a Friday night, freezing, watching the game.
Yep.
And that gentleman hasn't changed from that day to this day, and we're damn proud of you, son.
Well, Tom, I really appreciate that. I remember that team, you know, The head coach, it was out there forever and a day. They had some great programs out there, and he just retired a couple of years ago. But I hope he's doing well.
He went down to Marietta and graduated, became a assistant principal in the area.
How about that? Good for him.
How about that? Let's move on.
Good for him.
Tom, thank you for the call. We
appreciate
it.
Thank you for the kind words. That's very nice. Thank you.
I'm not done.
Oh. Hey. What else?
I got a question for both of you.
Yep.
And I appreciate what the conversation was in the first half hour, actually immensely. But how do you park a Porsche at first and a Mercedes at second?
You mean how do you keep both guys away in a rebuild? Is that what you mean?
Absolutely.
That's a legitimate
way
question.
Way too much money there on the right side of that infield.
Well,
we made that mistake, Tom, with Griffey. Are we going to repeat history?
Well, look, you know, that's sort of the old, you know, water under the bridge kind of thing.
Sure.
Those contracts are already signed, and they've been given away, and they were given away, quite honestly, by, you know, guys that are no longer in charge anymore. And so, you know, it puts a new general manager and the entire organization in a situation where I'm sure if they had to do it all over again, I don't know if they would or they wouldn't, but that's a reality of what they have to try and deal with now. That's just the way it is.
And one of those goes away at the end of this season, regardless of what happens, whether he plays here all year, whether he ultimately is traded, that contract at second base goes away at the end of 2017.
Yep.
Gentlemen, I want to say thank you. Have a great night.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate it. We have one more segment coming up here at the Holy Grail Banks and the Reds Hot Stove League. We'll take a break, come back with that right after this. The Reds Hot Stove League presented by Budweiser. All right, one more segment here at the Holy Grail Banks on the Reds Hot Stove League. And I want to tell you quickly about something that I know you're interested in. You can have exclusive Major League Clubhouse tour experience if you so desire. Step inside the Reds Clubhouse. Sit in your favorite player's locker. See where the pros get ready to play ball. Call the Reds Hall of Fame today at 513-765-7923 or visit redsmuseum.org to book your tour of the Major League Clubhouse right across the street.
All right, we're down to our final 3 minutes on the Reds Hot Stove League from here at the Holy Banks. Holy Grail on the banks. The Holy Banks.
We've got some Twitter
now
questions.
What, oh, we have some Twitter. All right, yeah. You're on Twitter. You're a big Twitter guy now. I mean, we may as well get that on the air. I've never been on it. You know, I'm not one of those Twitter guys. But now I understand you have jumped in both feet.
12 days ago.
All right, you want to give everybody your, what is it called?
It's at Kelch Gym.
Okay.
And I did a Twitter Q&A today with the Reds. Jamie Ramsey is big, big, big into social media. And he has been very helpful to me. Chad Fisher from the Reds, we did that today. And, it's an enlightening experience, one that I've enjoyed so far.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. We have some questions on Twitter here. What positions do you think, this is from Eric Drake, at Eric Drake, what positions do you think the Reds need to fill the most this offseason?
Well, I think Dick talked about it earlier, and we've heard him say it any number of times, that the two main spots that the Reds are looking to improve on is, one, the bullpen. It's an absolute must. And two, the bench. Those are two areas that they really seem that they need to improve on. Agree or disagree?
I agree. This is like a full-court press, the old UNLV full-court press. I'm asking you all these questions.
Wow.
At I am the MDP. Was there one player you were particularly impressed with developmental-wise in 2016?
Yeah, I thought that Adam Duvall was very impressive this year, considering where he came from, what he had done in the past. I mean, we weren't even sure he was going to make the team out of spring training. Turned out to be an all-star. And I think the other guy, based on what he did in the second half, was Scott Schebler. I mean, he came up here and made the team to begin the season, and let's be frank, was terrible. Just terrible. But when he came back from Louisville in the last 2 months, I think he turned into the kind of player that we now look forward to seeing next year and think, where can he go from here?
All right. At Ben Schmidt 21, will we see Jose Peraza start next season or used more as a utility player again?
Well, it all depends on Zach Cozart. I was looking at baseballtraderumors.com today, a terrific site to stay up on what's going on in baseball. And they say that the Mariners still have interest in acquiring Zach Cozart. So if it's the Mariners or it's another team, if Cozart is traded away, and we hate to see him go because he's a terrific guy, Jose Peraza will get his shot.
Well, all I'll say on that whole thing and the questions is, Jose Peraza better be in the Reds starting lineup every day next year. This guy is a, to quote you, a player.
Quote me?
Yes.
I think we can quote your father on
all
that.
Right. A player.
The word player.
Put that on Twitter.
So Jose Peraza, yeah, we'll see what happens with him. And we will remind you, too, next week on a Tuesday, we had these early Wednesdays because of the election, because of the Bengals game. But starting again next week, back to our normal day, Tuesday at 6 o'clock, right here, Reds Hot Stove League, presented by Budweiser. You have anything else?
I'm done. Nice seeing you, buddy.
You too.
Happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you next week, but
you
happy Thanksgiving if we miss you.
All right. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening to the Reds Hot Stove League. See you next week.